Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
All this week, I am talking with Dr. Catherine Ramsland. Dr. Catherine Ramsland, as you may know if you're a follower of true crime, wrote the book on Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, his autobiography, in fact. She spent many years communicating back and forth with Dennis, gaining an insight unlike anyone else into the mind of one of the most notorious serial killers alive today. This week, we're going in to her mind to learn about the experiences that she had while working with Dennis Rader at that time and all the way up to today, trying to better understand the mind of a killer. Join me all this week for parts 1 through 5 of my conversation with Dr. Catherine Ramsland right here on the podcast. When he was playing the cat and mouse game with the media, we know that was one of his favorite things to do. I guess it's with police as well. It's a weird thing, because if you got away with it and no one's suspecting who you are, I guess those of us who aren't serial killers would think the last thing you want to do is be sending out, you know, fishing lines to the media, fishing lines to the police that could possibly somehow lead back to you. What was it about that? Was it his desire for the notoriety of the type of books and the images and the people that he studied in childhood, like H.H. Holmes and such, that he was doing whatever he could to get the infamous BTK out there into the spotlight? Was that a big part of his MO?
It started when he heard that the police, it was about 8 months after the Otero, he heard that the police had arrested 3 men. And this bugged him, because he knew that they were on the wrong track, and they were wasting taxpayer money.
Okay.
That was truly started him on his path.
The taxpayer money issue. That's it.
And so he wrote a long description of the Otero murders and said, "I'm the only one who did this." And he put this into an engineering book in the Wichita Library, or I think Wichita State University Library, and sent a reporter to get it.
Sure.
Whereupon that reporter turned it over to the police, and this is the first time Rader is basically saying, "I did those 3 dudes you arrested," is the way he referred to it, "are not the guys. I did this alone." And at this point, he's now thinking, because it ends up in the news, he's thinking, "This is kind of cool. They don't know who I am, and I can be manipulative." And so he begins to crave the notoriety. And he does send a letter talking about Jack the Ripper, Ted of the West Coast, is what he called Ted Bundy, you know, a few others he names, Son of Sam. You know, "Why are they getting this attention? I'm not." And so as he's noticing others in the news, he wonders, why isn't the Wichita killer getting it? And at this point, he names himself. He's the one who came up with BTK.
Yep.
Or bind them, torture them, strangle them.
Yep.
So, and he actually had quite a few names that he suggested, like the poet strangler and things like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
BTK caught on. And then, so then it became, "I want to communicate by using this way." And then he wrote a couple of poems about some of the victims that he sent in. And then he went silent for a while. He did not communicate on his final 3 victims at all. And we called one in, not of the final three, but of the first seven. He called one in because he wanted to see it in the newspaper, but he didn't communicate at all for the final three. And Wichita was not sure what was going on. But then an attorney on the, I guess, 30th anniversary, an attorney wanted to write a book about it. He was going to be writing about the seven murders that, of the Wichita serial killer that very few people had heard of. Actually, we had been writing about it for Court TV. We did have a piece on it. And when Rader decided he did not want someone writing his story, that's when he came back out and started playing the cat and mouse game. And he actually plagiarized from the Court TV piece. So much for not wanting. And he says, no, he didn't. But I say, well, how did your titles end up being the same then?
Yeah.
For your chapters. So, you know, he wanted to write his own story. So it was that. And then all of a sudden he started thinking about the readers and viewers of Wichita media being his fan club that he had to please. So he had a lot of different motivations for the communications.
How does he view society today that we're sitting here, we're talking about him right now? Does he still view this as a fan club? Does he view this as people who are trying to study and understand his way of thinking? I mean, how does he view society today now that he's behind bars? He's been caught. It's no longer a cat and mouse mystery. Where does he stand on that?
Well, he does have a fan club because lots and lots and lots of people write to him, send him money, want some kind of association with him. Lots of people do. So he still has that. He still enjoys seeing his name. Like when with the arrest of the Long Island, the alleged Long Island serial killer, he immediately got out there and said, wait a minute, there's parallels between him and me.
So
when he sees things that he thinks should be linked to him, he wants that notoriety. He still wants to be known. He is probably one of the most famous living serial killers right now, I would say. And he likes that.
It has been interesting to watch, quite honestly, over the last year or so, when something big happens and there's some sort of a mass killing or a serial killer or something happen, there you have your commentary from many people. But seemingly Dennis Rader pops into the conversation almost every time with some sort of commentary. It's been interesting that I feel like he's almost found another niche of where to comment and talk about, because people will listen if he's talking about a current murder investigation.
And that's long been a notion of ours that serial killers have special insight. I even wrote a blog about it.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Do they? Yes.
You know, the idea that you can use one to catch another. And that was, you know, Ted Bundy's ploy with the Green River Killer is, I can help you with that.
Yeah.
He didn't particularly. So every once in a while, they might have something to say, and not necessarily because they're serial killers, but because they do study these cases. They do think about them. I don't know that they have, you know, some kind of privileged insight just because they've been murderers.
Sure.
But that's the idea. In fact, that happened with the Austrian serial killer, Jack Unterweger. He had committed murder, gone to prison, supposed to be life in prison, but he started writing poetry and plays and whatnot. And so the Austrian literati got him out of prison, saying art had cured him, whereupon people started dying. And the newspapers hired him to cover the, thinking, well, he's a murderer. He's a good person and a writer. He's a good person to cover these incidents. Well, he's also the guy doing them.
Covering his own murders. Yeah.
Yes.
With Dennis, there's obviously been people who've said there are accusations made that maybe he's behind this murder, that murder, some other unsolved cases in various areas. Do you believe there are more victims out there that he has not admitted to yet? Or are you fairly confident that he would have said by now and would have admitted to anything that he's done at this point?
I would never say it's a complete deal. But that being said, I know that the ones that he is currently being questioned about, there's no evidence linking him to them at all. So I wouldn't say there aren't anymore, because what we have found, sometimes the serial killers won't talk about their very earliest murder because it was such a mess. They don't want to own up to it, or it was a child, or, you know, there's something about it they don't want to admit to, or different race, different, you know, whatever. So I would never say that's it. He's telling us the full truth. But that doesn't mean I think the cases currently under investigation will be successfully resolved with him as, you know, with him indicted. I don't think so.
When you look back at all the work you put into this, what are some of the key takeaways that you walk away going, you know, I learned this from this interaction, from this time period, from all of this research. What are some of those things that you feel you really gained from all of that?
Well, I think the biggest contribution my book makes is that we don't have the formula. There used to be this notion that, you know, which came largely from the FBI, is that we have this idea of who serial killers are and how they were made.
Sure.
And Dennis is an outlier. He doesn't fit that formula. And he shows us to stop doing that, because what happens is it builds expectations in investigators. And one of them who could have caught Rader decided, well, a Boy Scout volunteer is not going to be a serial killer. So he did not, when he stopped him or he encountered him in a rest stop, he was supposed to search the car. That was his job. Didn't, because Rader persuaded him, oh, I'm just up here at the Boy Scout camp. So we need to learn that our formulas are strictly trying to make us feel safe, and they're not necessarily true. And I think Rader's case shows us that.
It's easier for us to tell ourselves stories to make ourselves feel safer than deal with reality.
I think it's not just easier. I think it's ingrained in us. It's a way to feel safe, because we want to feel safe. It's the path of least resistance, is to find ways to believe we've mastered the information and that we'll be okay. Sure. And yet, case after case, you're finding not necessarily.
What's Dennis' goals for the rest of his life? I know you said earlier that you still speak with him from time to time. In his current state of existence, where he's been commenting on true crime lately, where does he want to go? What does he want to do with his time that he has left?
Well, he's 78. He's not in great health. He knows that. There's not a lot to even think about being able to do with his life. So. Sure. I don't think he has aspirations like, oh, I want to be a commentator or no, something like that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if he wants to use, you know, anything to try and do good with the bad that is
within
him.
I think he thinks the book is the way to have done good.
Okay.
That he participated in the book, and the book is making a contribution to the fields of study where we are trying to figure out criminogenic factors and early interventions. And so I think he thinks that's exactly what he did with the book.
Does he want to make a contribution in terms of through the book to prevent others like him from going down the path that he went down?
He does. He thinks, he wishes somebody could have intervened with him. Yeah, I think that is ideal, but it's not a fervent hope. It's not like I would love for my life to be turned around and totally redeemed. That is not in his mind.
There's more to come in my conversation with Dr. Kathryn Ramsland about the BTK killer, Dennis Rader. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our 5-part series here on the podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Stay-
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.